to be able to gather here in St. Columba and hear some words from Scripture that are very important, especially this time of the year. From Deuteronomy, man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Everything that he has given us is good. It is a good land, and we're here. From Deuteronomy. From James, every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father. It is a wonderful place to be in America, even in California, and I will be one of the first to admit that I have things to say that are negative about California, but you know what? There's a lot of places in the world that I would rather not be than here. Does that make sense? I'd rather be here than there? You figured out. But we came here. We came here as exiles. We came here a long time ago. There's a meme going around on Facebook right now that says, if you enjoy Thanksgiving, thank an Anglican. Because we kicked the Puritans out. Yeah. But following the governor, the first governor, Bradford, in 1623, just 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth, he makes a point and says to all the Pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of corn, wheat, peas, squashes, garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, and has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, as your magistrate, do proclaim that all of the pilgrims, with your wives and the little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and noon in the day and time on Thursday, November the 29th of this year, 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. And there we are to listen to the pastor and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all of his blessings. So from the beginning of Europeans on this continent in a large number, from England, who are Puritans, but from their beginning, this is what we get, that they are here by God's grace, they've been protected by God's grace, they are flourishing for a time by God's grace, and they owe thanks to God. Well, it was some time later, more than 100 years, in 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. Now, it's a very long one, but I'm only going to read a part of it. But I want you to see that the strong and absolute acknowledgement of the Lord, the fact of God in our lives, and our nation's dependence upon him. The quote is by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, did you hear that? Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That was George Washington, our first president's proclamation for the establishment, the beginning of Thanksgiving celebration. Well, to celebrate, we can do lots of things. 4th of July, we sent off rockets in the air, and some people shoot guns, I don't know why. But they sent off rockets in the air, and we do certain kinds of barbecues. But here for Thanksgiving, it's turning over. It's turning over ourselves. And sometimes there's three attitudes that really steal away that turning over, that gratitude that we should have. And they keep us from being truly, truly thankful. The first one is pride. This is the attitude that says, hey, nobody ever gave me nothing. I worked hard for everything I have. It's all mine. I did it all on my own. With this kind of attitude, we feel that we have no need to thank anyone but ourselves. Frank Sinatra hit it on the head. I did it my way. In that sideways jest that I have said a number of times, says I never met a self-made man who didn't worship his maker. You probably need to think about that for a second. Who is the center of a self-made man's life? Himself. Pride. Pride is that root. Pride is that point that takes us away from being thankful. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, this person will always find something to complain about. Many of you know that I was in Minnesota before coming here, and there was a particular saying in Minnesota that drove me nuts. I could never get over, no matter what compliment or high praise I would give somebody, their response would be, ah, it's not so bad. It's that complaining. It's just that there's not quite right. There's this lady who's known as an incurable grumbler, and she constantly complained about everything, and at last her preacher thought that he'd found something that would be great for her to be happy about. Her farm crop was the finest for miles. When he met her, he said, hey, with a beaming smile, you must be very happy. Everyone says, Mary, that your potatoes are the best this year. Her response was, sure, they look pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs? Huh? What are you going to do? That third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Just carelessness. Someone once said that the stars only come out once a year. If they only came out once a year, we would stay out all night and watch them. But they're there every night. They're every night. And we've grown really accustomed to them. And with few exceptions, we hardly notice them at all. The Israelites grumbled because they had no food, so God miraculously sent them manna, a crust-like bread substance. And it covered the ground each day except on the Sabbath. And then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. There's no variety. They had a miracle straight from God. They were being sustained by the food from God. Yet it was no longer satisfactory. It no longer satisfied. In essence, they were being kept alive by God every single day by this miracle, but they're ungrateful for it because it was the same thing. When we live lives filled with pride or carelessness or a critical spirit, we will never truly be thankful for all that God has given to us. We'll overlook his bounty, we'll overlook his good gifts, we'll overlook his providence. And in hard cases, we overlook the salvation gift from Jesus. However, if any nation ought to be thankful, if any group of people ought to be thankful, it should be us. It ought to be America and the people of America who be thankful to God, grateful for his goodness, and as Christians, we need to do that. We need to remember the opening from our reading from James. Every good endowment, every perfect gift is from the Father. Or from our song, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths overflow with plenty. That's our God. That's Jesus. Our blessings from God the Father through Jesus are so numerous that we should be in a constant state of gratitude towards God. It's no surprise that the usual service at church is a communion service. We will have communion tonight. It's more properly called the Eucharist. This is from the Greek root word for what we do. Eucharist means thanksgiving. So every service here is intended at its base to be a giving of thanks back to God for all that he has done for each of us. So my brothers and sisters, when I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, it's not just a happy meal, it's not just a happy time, a happy moment with friends or family. It is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. So come, let us be in thanksgiving to God for all his blessings, tonight and always. Amen.